Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 13th chapter of the gospel according to John, beginning with the 31st verse. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Here's the question that I want you to think about this morning. What if God calls you to a place that you don't want to go? Let me tell you a story. I had completed 2 years of seminary at Wartburg Theological Seminary in Dubuque, Iowa. Your third year is to go out on an internship somewhere. We ended up about 70 miles down the road in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Half of my internship was in a congregation, Gloria Day Lutheran Church, there in Cedar Rapids. The other half was as a chaplain at a hospital, St. Luke's Medical Center. I had two great supervisors. I was blessed. My supervisor at the hospital, his name was Tom. Early on, Tom sat me down and he said, "So what do you want to learn while you're here?" And we talked about that for a while. And then he said to me, "Where are the places that you don't want to go?" Well, at that time, we had three very young boys. And I said, "Honestly, Tom, I don't want to have to serve as a chaplain in the pediatrics ICU." Said, "I think that that is just too close to home right now." And he said, "Fine, not a problem." Sent me on my way with my assignments. About 6 months into my internship, I was up on the fourth floor one day. There on the floor, one wing is the swing bed unit. I was up making visits. I saw out the window that the air ambulance was landing. A little later, I was in the hallway. The elevator doors opened. Out comes a gurney, the flight crew, and a small child on the gurney being rushed to the PEDS ICU. I went to a phone. I called the chaplain's office, and I said, "It doesn't look good. You better send somebody up here quick." I went on my way to make another visit. In the midst of that visit, my pager went off. I excused myself, found my way to a phone, called the chaplain's office, and was told, "Mark, you're it. You have to go." On my short walk down the hall to the PEDS ICU unit, I prayed. As I entered in, I went to the nurse's station. They showed me where the family was gathered. What I learned from this young mom and young dad was that their child, under 2 years of age, had come down with something, had been in a hospital at another small town facility, was not getting better, as a matter of fact, was getting worse. And so was air ambulance here that day. I spent some time with them, and eventually we were able to go into the room where the child was being cared for, and we prayed there, and we gathered there, and we stood, but things didn't turn out the way anyone wanted it to turn out. That little one died. I spent the next half hour to hour just helping them begin the process of saying goodbye. And after they left, we as staff all gathered together. And we hugged, and we held hands, and we cried, and we prayed that God would be there for this family, and that there would be healing for this staff that was deeply affected by what had just happened. I left the floor that day. There are a whole lot of details about the whole incident that 20 years later are just fuzzy in my brain. What is not fuzzy is that as I left that floor, I let out a deep sigh, just, oh. And in that moment, I knew. I physically knew that the Holy Spirit had left me. If anything happened in the midst of that staff that was helpful, if anything happened in the midst of the praying that was helpful, it was because in this place I had been carried by the Holy Spirit. God somehow was at work there. Here's the question. Again, what if God grabs hold of you and takes you into a place you don't want to go? When we look at the book of Acts, the 10th and the 11th chapter, I invite you, if you've got some time today, to sit down and open up your Bible and read those two chapters. Because this is the church, this is the Holy Spirit at work creating the church in the early days. There is a seismic shift that is happening in these two chapters. Because previous to this, the only people who could be gathered as followers of the risen Christ were those who were first faithful Jews. And if this seismic shift hadn't happened, you and I wouldn't be sitting here. Because we are Gentiles. We're outsiders. Jump back with me just for a little bit to the 10th chapter. It's the beginning of the story. There is a Roman centurion. He has a vision to call to the city of Joppa. He lives in Caesarea. He has a vision to call to Joppa for one by the name of Peter. He does it. He sends three of his men after Peter. Meanwhile, Peter is on the upper floor of a home. He is hungry, he's waiting for food to be fixed, and in the midst of that, he goes into a trance. In that trance, he sees a sheet lowered three times. Each time, it is filled with unclean animals and reptiles and birds, things that no faithful Jew would ever eat. And Peter is told, "Get up, kill, and eat." And he says, "By no means, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever passed across my lips." And the Lord says to him, "How is it that you call unclean that which I call clean?" Peter is challenged in that moment to step away from all that he knows about ritual purification and the rites of law for the Jewish people. And then he is told to get up because three men are going to be coming and looking for him. And sure enough, he goes downstairs. There they are. They take him from Joppa to Caesarea, and he spends time there with this Roman centurion. And in the midst of it, the Holy Spirit comes upon the whole family, the whole household, and Peter baptizes them. Now, on the page, that's not a big deal. But back in Jerusalem, days later, there is this gathering with Peter and all of the other leaders of the church at the time because they are very concerned, at least some of them are very concerned about what Peter has done. How is it, Peter, that you could take the gift of baptism and give it to these Gentiles, these outsiders? What are you doing? You don't get to hear that kind of emotion in the text from the 11th chapter, but my sense is, this wasn't just a quiet conversation. My sense is there were some people that were pretty upset about it. They wanted to know why Peter would go to such a place. And what Peter says is, because I saw the Holy Spirit fall on that household. And I said, how can I prevent what God is calling worthy? Brothers and sisters in Christ, where are we being called that we are unwilling or fearful to go. My story about that young family has all sorts of tragedy in the midst of it. There's no question about it. I have no idea what happened to them. I have no idea what happened to the rest of the staff either. I have a belief that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, continued to walk with all of them. But what I'll tell you is that was a place that I never wanted to have to go. Where are we being called into that we may not want to go, but God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants us there? Here's something that I believe firmly. There is no place that we can go that God is not already present there. Because if we have been drawn to it, then God wants us there. I think that we are called to be the kind of people who would pray and pray deeply. That we would be able to hear the voice of God calling us into those places of hopelessness and darkness and need so that the gospel can be proclaimed. So we gather in this place to worship and thank God, to praise God for all of the gifts that God gives us. But we don't stay here. We're called into a world of need. I invite you to grab your hymnal. We are going to pray together our hymn of the day. It's really a sung prayer that God would be our vision and our strength to go forward. We're going to sing together hymn number 793. It'll be on the screens. It's also in your hymnal. We pray it together, asking that the Holy Spirit would lead us forward. Rise as you are able. Together we confess our faith using the words of the apostles. Well, we've already done the creed, so we're going to pray now. Let's pray. Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, for people in need, and for all of creation. And so we pray. Loving God, lead us to follow your Spirit rather than our own prejudices or desires. Open us to perceive your gifts in those we least expect, and give us the strength to follow you even into places we may not want to go. Lord, in your mercy, inspire us to praise you through the beauty and majesty of the natural world around us. Thanks for your continued gift of rain, for the greening prairies, the nesting geese and ducks, and the golden sunshine around us. Lord, in your mercy, humble the rulers of nations before your splendor. Direct them to the people who need their attention most, and turn them from the temptation to hoard wealth or power. Help us all to stand against violence and aggression. Be with the people of Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, hasten to dwell among those who are in pain or distress. Provide healing to all suffering from mental, emotional, or physical distress. Especially we pray for Cheryl and Don, Donna and Fran, Gary and Jerry, John, Karen, Kim, Mary and Mike, Tom, Cheryl, Connie, Danelle, Denise, Annette, Sherry, Mary, Linda, Louise, and Dwight. Lord, in your mercy, place holy love at the center of all of our relationships and communities. By your love, heal us, convict us, and renew us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.